Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service this morning. We come to worship our Lord God again this morning. He is with us and we are with him through his Spirit. And in Philippians it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let us just have a short opening prayer. Dear Father in heaven, in your word we trust, in your word of eternal life given us in Jesus Christ our Saviour, we build on this word of life in these days when it seems that everything is losing strength and value, and yet there is so much longing in people's hearts. You will not let our hope be disappointed. What you have spoken must be fulfilled. What is promised in Jesus Christ must come into being, not only for a few, but for the whole world, for which he died and was raised from the dead. Be with us. Keep us so fully alive that our lives reflect all the goodness we are allowed to experience, and we overcome all the evil which tries to attack us. We thank you for calling us to life and for renewing us again and again. May your name be praised among us forever. Amen. Martin is going to be bringing us God's word later in the service, and he's chosen the hymns today. And the first song that he's chosen is called Faithful God.
Faithful God, faithful God, all sufficient One, I worship you. Faithful. you up. Faithful God.
First reading this morning is from Daniel, and Mark is going to read for us. Thank you, Mark.
Daniel chapter 1. In the third year that King Joachim was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia attacked Jerusalem and surrounded the city. The Lord let him capture King Joachim and seize some of the temple treasures. He took some prisoners back with him to the temple of his gods in Babylon and put the captured treasures in the temple storerooms. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief official, to select among the Israelite exiles some young men of the royal family and of the noble families. They had to be handsome, intelligent, well-trained, quick to learn, and free from physical defects, so that they would be qualified to serve in the royal court. Ashpenaz was to teach them to read and write the Babylonian language. The king also gave orders that every day they were to be given the same food and wine as the members of the royal court. After 3 years of training, they were to appear before the king. Among those chosen were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all of whom were from the tribe of Judah. The chief official gave them new names: Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel made up his mind not to let himself become ritually unclean by eating the food and drinking the wine of the royal court, so he asked Ashpenaz to help him. And God made Ashpenaz sympathetic to Daniel. Ashpenaz, however, was afraid of the king, and so said to Daniel, "The king has decided that you are to eat and drink, and if you don't look as fit as the other young men, he may kill me." And from chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, "Your Majesty, we will not try to defend ourselves. If the God whom we serve is able to save us from the blazing furnace and from your power, then he will. But even if he doesn't, your Majesty may be sure that we will not worship your God, and we will not bow down to the gold statue that you have set up."
Thank you, Mark. Next song is "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less."
Sing.
Our second reading this morning is from Acts, and Diane is going to read the passage to us.
Peter and John bore the council. Peter and John were still speaking to the people, some priests, the officer in charge of the temple guards, and some Sadducees arrived. They were annoyed because the two apostles were teaching the people that Jesus had risen from death, which proved that the dead would rise to life. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day, since it was already late. So they called the king and told them that on no condition were they to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "You yourselves judge which is right in God's sight, to obey you or to obey God. We cannot stop speaking of what we ourselves have seen and heard." So the council warned them even more strongly and then set them free. They saw that it was impossible to punish them because the people were all praising God for what had happened. As soon as Peter and John were set free, they returned to their group and told them what the chief priests and the elders had said.
Thank you, Diane, for reading that passage to us. I now hand over to Martin, who's bringing the message to us this morning.
Thanks, Adrian. And thanks, Diane and Mark, for doing those readings for me. Let's just pray before we start. Father, we thank you that as we gather together to spend this short time in worship to you, separated by social distancing, but brought together in unity by our love for you. We pray that you would help us to hear from your word, to understand and to learn and to be challenged as we go into our next week. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have in store for us. Amen. I was thinking about these passages, and one of the things that came to my mind was that each of us have characteristics in our lives that make us who we are or identify us to other people. Some of those characteristics are characteristics that we're born with. Some of them are ones that are in our lives through our nurture, through our upbringing, and some of them are by our choice, attitudes and opinions that we choose to have. And it's our characteristics as well as our looks that make us identifiable in society. People recognize us from those characteristics. And each of the characters that we've met in our readings this morning had standout qualities. It was interesting in that reading in Daniel chapter 1 that the king said, "I want you to find some people from among these captives, and they must be handsome and intelligent and good at quick at learning. And basically good people." And those were characteristics that were being looked for by the people that were chosen to fulfill the roles that the king wanted. They went into training. And as it later came on, as you read in that first bit in Daniel chapter 1, we see that Daniel was told the things that he was allowed to eat and to drink, and they caused Daniel, from that limited reading, they caused Daniel a bit of a problem, and he asked his mentor, as it were, his go-between between him and the king, to say, "Please, can we eat the things that we normally would eat? It won't affect our health, and we'll still be as good at what you want us to do." And that go-between was a little bit worried and came back. But as you read further on in the story, you read that as Daniel stood his ground, as he maintained his characteristics, his honesty and his truthfulness and his quick learning, although he did not eat all those things that the king insisted he ate, you'll see that Daniel began to improve and worked as well as the rest of the people that were within that group. He didn't compromise on his beliefs, on his standing. He was prepared to make that stand and to continue with his own lifestyle, as well as doing the learning that was needed. But also the other three young men that we were introduced to in that reading that we then came along again in chapter 3 was Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And this is another well-known story where the people are told, I've put up an idol of myself, says the king, and I've put up a big statue of myself, and we're going to set out a music band. And whenever you hear that music band play, you must fall on your knees and you must worship and bow to this statue. And if you don't, you'll be in big trouble, basically. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were in a situation where the band started playing and everybody fell on their knees because they were in fear of the king. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego stood strong in that they mustn't worship another any idols. They must only worship their God, even though the threat was that if they didn't worship, it would cost them their lives. They made their stand, they stood their ground, and we know the story, so I'm not going to go through it all. But they were thrown into the furnace and then they came out alive. But all because their characteristic in their lives was to worship God, to not compromise, to not go along with what everybody says, and to stay true to God and not to worship idols. And they stood their ground. And then we come to our third reading there with Peter and John. And Peter and John have been arrested for preaching about Jesus in the temple, preaching about Jesus being the Messiah and being risen from the dead. And the authorities were not very happy with this. So they arrested Peter and John and threw them into jail. And the authorities had a meeting. Said, well, it's getting a bit awkward. We can't punish them, but let's send them out and tell them to be quiet. And the words be quiet to me being said to Peter are a bit of opposites. I can't imagine Peter for any minute being quiet. Peter, as I've said to you before in previous sermons, somebody I believe very often spoke before he engaged his brain. And Peter and John were brought back before the authorities, and the authorities said to them, you can go, but you must stop preaching in this name of Jesus. And Peter and John again stood their ground, said to the elders, said to those officials, you consider what is right. You decide whether it is right for us to stop doing what God has called us. The thing through each of these stories, I believe, is something that I believe as Christians today we have to face. And it's a word that I use quite a bit, and I look at my own life as I say these words. Compromise. Compromise. What are we being forced within our faith, within our church, within our lives to compromise on? It's easy sometimes for a quiet life to go through things, keep quiet about what we believe, titter along to the jokes and the comments and the language that other people use because it makes life a little bit easier. It means we haven't got to stand and defend ourselves. So we make compromises. We make compromises because we want to fit in with those around us, whereas Jesus called us to be different. And I think that's very difficult. We don't like, in today's society, being different. There's been a lot of talk at the moment about Black Lives Matter and other things that, to my view, as I watch the news, are getting out of hand with vandalism and pulling down of statues and racism and all the rest of it. And it all seems to be getting out of hand. And we can sometimes get drawn into just going along with that so that we don't seem to be falling into those categories of being racist or whatever. It's very difficult to stand your ground. Somebody put on Facebook the other week, a friend of mine, this thing that Black Lives Matter, and my response was just simply, I believe that all lives matter. And I got a thing back to say, you've missed a point. And you sort of think, well, I don't think I have. I think all lives matter. So I wonder where in our lives, particularly in these times of lockdown and social isolation, we are having to compromise our beliefs. We're compromising what we do in our daily lives. We've been told at the moment we can't meet together as church. That's not a compromise, but we've got around it by using wonderful technologies such as Zoom and being able to meet together. And we can't always see one another. I'm preaching to a screen that says good news at the moment. So it's difficult for me to gauge how you're responding to what I'm saying. But we haven't compromised. We haven't given up the meeting together. But because we're not in the same room doesn't mean we're not meeting together. We are encouraging and blessing one another by simply joining in on these Sundays. And that, I think we owe a lot to Adrian for doing that. And I don't say that to embarrass him. I say it because he understands how this works. And it's great that we've got that. Because in a church that struggles sometimes with technology, to be doing this is not a compromise. It's a move forward. It's a step forward in how we keep the church encouraged and blessing one another. I think the biggest example in those three readings that we had was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Either you bow down to the statue or you'll be thrown into a furnace of fire. You will die. And I love their answer. Their answer to the king was just plainly and simple. Our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. And there's a strength in their faith. There's a strength in their trust in God in those words. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to give in to what you're saying. How many things do we have to stand up, if we're honest, in our lives and say, my God is able to bring me through this. But even if he doesn't, I'm not going to stop trusting him. I know we've said before that we've had our faith tested over the years, and I'm sure everybody's gone through things that have tested their faiths. But, you know, so when we had a year where we lost quite a lot of people in terms of our own lives, our father-in-law, my father-in-law, and a brother and friend's wife, and you sort of go through a year where you think, well, I don't want another one like that. And that knocks your faith a little bit. But even though our faith may not seem as strong as it was before that time, I can still say, you know, I'm not going to stop believing what God can do. And here we are in our social isolation, in our little bubbles, some of us feeling low, some of us just about getting through, some of us being able to go to work, some of us not being able to go to work. And it affects us. It affects the way we trust in God. It affects the way we talk to God. It affects the way we communicate with him and believe in him and trust in what he can do. But despite everything the news says, despite all of the things that have been put against us, I still believe that God is able to bring us through and will bring us through. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, and even if he doesn't, I'm not going to stop believing. I believe that whatever pressures life lies upon us, whatever things are put upon us, we've got to refuse to buckle down under those pressures. We've got to refuse to hide. We've got to refuse to compromise or change just to fit in. We've got to refuse to make life easier for ourselves just because we hide who we are. We must be strong in our faith, and we must stand firm and trust in the God that called us into his family. It was your characteristics and my characteristics that God chose us for. God chose us because he loved us. And whatever your characteristics are, whatever your calling was, you must stand firm and true. And that's why I've chosen the songs that we've got today. We have a faithful God, as Chris Bowater was singing. And then in that last one, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not on what we can do, not on what we can say, not on how we live. Our hope is built on Jesus. And then we've got, we're going to be singing in a minute, In Christ Alone. And then we're going to be finishing with The Lord is My Shepherd, I Will Trust in You Alone. But before we move on to that, let us just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the characters that we meet in the Bible, because the Bible shows us them in their strengths, but also in their weaknesses. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever our strengths are, whatever our weaknesses are now, however low we feel, however joyous we feel, however we are coping with this lockdown and this long term of not being able to meet together, Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to stand firm in our faith. Help us, Lord, through these times. In your name, amen. We'll sing In Christ Alone.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firms through the fiercest droughts and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter.
Paul is now going to lead our prayers of intercession.
Thank you. Let's just come and just be quiet before God. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. Oppression, injustice and pain. Nations are slipping in hopeless despair, though many have come in your name. Watching while sanity dies, touched by the madness and lies. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit on us today. Father God, we're so conscious that we live in a world where oppression and discord and disunity of violence seem to be the order of the day, where men and women seem to be against each other, Father, where people, Lord, cannot agree on anything. And we do pray, Father, that you might come and bring peace and unity to not only our nation, Lord, but to all the nations of the world. Because, Father, we're very conscious that there are so many countries where daily there is violence and bloodshed, oppression, injustice. And, Father, you are a God who desires justice and mercy. That your people, Lord, walk humbly with you because you are their God. Father, we just bring your will before you today, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that somehow in the midst of all the chaos and the madness, Father, that we can see around us, Lord, you bring order and your kingdom, Father, that people, Lord, may see you. Help us, Father, particularly as Christians, that we might stand firm, to know, Lord, that you are the only answer, Father, to the righting of this wrong world. And we pray, Father, that through the trials and tribulations, Father, that we face day by day, that we might just hold firm in you, that you might increase and strengthen our faith. We pray too, Lord, for each of us, Lord, as individuals. Lord, you know our weaknesses. You know, Father, the things that anger us, the things that we're fearful of. You know our comings and goings. Lord, you know every aspect of our lives. And Father, you know where we are at the moment. You know how we're feeling. You know the things, Lord, that are upon our minds. We pray, Lord, today for those who are feeling alone, those who are feeling fearful, those that are depressed, those that are worried, those that are ill, Lord, those that are concerned, Father, about family and friends, Lord, who are going through difficult times at the moment. We pray, Lord, for those who are isolated. We think particularly, Lord, of those in care homes who may not have had any visitors or contact for many months. We just pray for them. Father, we know that social isolation is something, Lord, that we're not used to, that we're social beings, Father. We like to get close to one another. We like to eat together, to be together, Father. But we just pray, Lord, that somehow through all of this, you might just remind us that you are here, that you are close to each one of us, and that you will keep us safe, Father. Just be with us and help us, Lord, in this difficult time. We pray too, Father, for your church, Lord, here on earth. Lord, as we look back through history, we can see the way in which your church has been persecuted and has been placed under attack in many different situations. And Father, today, Lord, we're at a time, Father, where your church, Lord, is coming under pressure. Father, we are having to conform, Lord, to decisions, Lord, made by people, Lord, who never go to church from one Sunday to the next. But we do pray, Father, that you might just keep us strong. And as Martin said today, Lord, that we might find a way, Father, through the restrictions, Lord, that are placed upon us. We pray, Father, that we might keep going, not give up the habit of meeting together, Lord. And we should do it, Father, all the more as the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ approaches. We pray, Lord, today that you might bless us, that you might just really reveal your Spirit, Lord, to us, that we might really come and be closer to you, Lord, than ever before. May we know, Father, your presence among us in a very real way. Not only, Lord, when we meet like this on a Sunday, Father, but when we're on our own, when we're going about our walks and the things that we do from day to day. Lord, just encourage us, Father, that you are there and you will see us through, because you are, Lord, a God who saves and loves his people. We just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today
our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory
are yours,
now and forever. Amen. The song we're finishing with is "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Trust in You Alone." During the course of this hymn, I invite people to unmute themselves so that we will be able to join in the grace together at the end of our service.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his
Come to the end of the service. You are able to unmute yourself, please do so. And we will join in the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen. Okay, we have one particular notice today. As many of you will be aware, the government has suggested that churches can open from tomorrow to allow private prayer, that is not to have a prayer meeting in church, not to come and to church and meet and have a particular fellowship with each other, but it's that we can go into church and sit quietly and have private prayer. There was a deacons meeting of the Baptist Church this week, and it was suggested that we might open our church premises on a Saturday morning between 10 and 12 for that purpose, that people might come in to pray. Now, in order to do that, we will need to organise things and help things. It would be helpful if we could have an indication of people who might find that something that they would like to do, which is to come into church on a Saturday morning to pray. You can either wave at me, but I have tried a little thing that works in normally for Zoom, and you hopefully, those who have got video on a computer, have got a little thing where you can press a button saying, yes, you would like to. Well, no, you don't. As I say, this is not committing anybody. It's just sort of trying to get an indication whether there are any numbers who might want to do so.
Really wanted to.
As I say. Just let go, friend. Does anybody else have any notices for us this morning? Okay, then. That has given us an indication there are at least five people who would like to come into church on a Saturday morning, and that doesn't preclude others from changing their minds or who haven't given an indication who would like to do so. So we will plan to open the church this coming Saturday morning between 10 and 12. We'll send an email around to people, and obviously we'll have to maintain social distancing and other things. So We're suggesting that we restrict it initially to people in our fellowship. We're not suggesting that at the moment we should publicise it generally to the public, because we want to see how it works first before we open it to people who don't know us. So thank you very much for that indication. Trevor?
Can I suggest you email Lois Leeson? Yep. Then advise all the Methodists of the situation if they wish to avail of it.
Yeah. As I say, that was it was just a sort of quick indication of where we might be on that, and there were people. We have got people who would like to take advantage of that, so we will do that. But yes, the intention to open it to all of us, both Methodists and so. Thank you very much for coming to our worship. We will have the normal prayers on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and we will have that church open for prayer Saturday morning. A number of us need to actually have a little bit of a conversation about how we're going to manage that. Mary, I think you said that you were willing to...
I can be there at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
As I say, we did say it would be in one door and out the next, and it will be just the chapel doors downstairs.
Yeah.
So the main door of the chapel will be open to go in, and then there'll be a circular thing so you come out on the side door downstairs. So the door... The Waitrose car park door won't be open. It will just be the chapel downstairs.
That doesn't preclude you parking in Waitrose and then walking down
the street. Walking down, no. But it will just be just on the ground floor around the chapel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye,
everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Bye. Bye,
everybody.
You have to have a one-way system.
Bye.
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 On the subject of music, can I suggest?
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Sorry.
You look lovely. Hi, Stella.
I can't see them.
Hi, Freddie.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Mary.
Hiya.
Hiya.
Hi.
Hiya.
Hello. Kisses.
Hello. 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 Hi, Bernadette.
When does the church open?
At 10. I shall be at the church door at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope some others will join me, but we'll open the front door. So the main front door to go in.
Yeah.
So you can go in and find a space on your own just to pray on your own. There won't be a service, so there won't be anybody leading. It's just for your own personal prayer.
Yes.
Go so in. Sit down.
Go in on the high street.
Yes.
On the high street, yes. On the main door on the high street.
Yeah.
And then just go in and sit spaced out somewhere on your own. And then as you go. So it won't start at 10 and finish at 12. People can come in quietly on their own, sit down and pray if they want to, and then leave when they want to. So you don't come in at 10 and then sit there till 12, unless you've got an awful lot to pray about. But it's just an open house to come in quietly, to sit and pray, and then to leave.
Okay, thank you very much, Mary.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye.